Tonight, we're going to just, Brother Decker text us and ask us to bring a few thoughts before we have some testimonies tonight. So you pray for us. I don't know. I get a little emotional sometimes. I just thank the Lord for how he's helped us. So you pray for us tonight. The gospel is here to instruct us. And this message come to my mind, and I hope it's not a downer. I'm trying to give some instruction, but also at the same time, encouragement. That's what the gospel does, you know? And so tonight, if you would, take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Very well-worn scripture. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5 through 7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." We want to key in on the sixth verse. One word, acknowledge. The message or the little sermonette here tonight is acknowledging God. What does acknowledgement mean? It means to accept or admit the existence or the truth of. It also means to recognize the fact or importance or the quality of. As one commentator said it, he said, "To know the Lord is to set him before you, to always have him in view, to consider him as being present with you, observing every step you take, and doing so without consulting his advice and wisdom, and then submitting to his sovereignty. And in doing this, he will direct your path." When God does things for us, we need to be quick to acknowledge it. To do our best to give him praise and honor to him for it. David acknowledged God all throughout the Psalms, and God blessed him for it. The Psalms are full of acknowledgement to God and expressions of needing God's help. We need God in every aspect of our lives. We are helpless without God. As the song of Brother Randy in the quartet sings, "Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand." But on the same hand, God is also a very jealous God. And he desires and he demands our praise and our worship, our obedience, and our reverence. Amen. When you do something for someone, big or small, it's nice to feel their acknowledgement and their kindness and their gratitude, right? Amen. As parents, we are pleased when our children acknowledge our sacrifice to provide for them. Right. So many times today you have children out here, they run around like spoiled children, thinking everything's a handout. And you can see it in the way they act. But we're pleased when our children acknowledge our sacrifices to provide for them. However, like David, we should not just wait until God does things for us to praise and acknowledge. No, we should let God know each and every day, every moment. Show him that we cannot take one step without him. I often tell the Lord before I get up to preach or before I teach, "Lord, even with you, I am still nothing. I'm nothing. Nothing. I can't do anything without God." And that's the way we need to be. We love it when our children come to us and say, can you help me with this? I can't seem to get it right. And then you see the joy in their eyes light up when their problem is solved, and then they turn and give you gratitude. It's a great feeling. God loves that too. God loves that. We must give him praise for absolutely everything accomplished in our lives. We need to realize that nothing goes on and gets done in our lives without God. We can't even get up in the morning without the Lord. Many times I think people think or forget that the reason why they have the job that they have, the reason why they have the finances that they have, is not because of you. It's because God allowed you. We've been studying on stewardship in the boys' Sunday school class. And money was obviously one of them. The next one that we're working on right now is time. But you don't have anything unless God gives it to you. Sometimes I told the boys, I said, sometimes we wonder why we're not richer. Well, because sometimes God sees that we can't handle it. We'd be poor stewards. We might get too self-confident in our own strength. However, there is a flip side to this. We want to cover a few things tonight. We want to cover the positive and the negative side to acknowledging God. We can, through our life lived, disown God when we go our own way, holding out for what we want. We can bring a reproach to God, the church, and ourselves. We can dishonor and disrespect God. And how do we do this? Well, there's some ways, and we're going to very hurriedly go through this tonight. We're going to try to keep this short. But number one, plain and simple, sin. Sin, obviously, is what God hates. It takes in too many things for us to be able to have time to cover it in just a few thoughts here tonight. But God cannot live in a heart that has sin. If there's sin in your heart, you're definitely not seeking to acknowledge God. You're seeking to please the flesh. It amazes me that here we are in the last day, and these messages and these teachings that Brother and Sister Sterlucky has brought, it amazes me that here we are, we're in the highlight of everything. We have all the knowledge. We have the light of 7 days. The book is completely opened. And we have been blessed to hear all this knowledge, all this wisdom. All the warnings, all the teachings, all the special services, the camp meetings, everything. That you have ones that would be able to leave a congregation where the truth is being preached to return to the beggarly elements of the world. It's like the proverb said, the dog returning to its vomit. Why? I understand that many times this doesn't occur all at once. And many times it's a slow and gradual cooling off due to the flesh and listening to the wiles of the devil. But there really is no reason that will stand the judgment. I remember talking, there's been several times that I've talked to some new converts. They come up and they've said, how do I do this? I said, how do you think the rest of us do it? It takes determination. You have to will yourself. You got to work at it. The Bible says to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. None of us has attained yet. We're still here. We're still working at it. I'm no different than anybody else. The devil works on me just like he does everybody else. We have no excuse. Well, somebody offended me. Well, guess what? Offenses will come. Do we take out a revenge, or do we allow God to deal with the matter in his time? Sometimes these things happen to us to teach us a lesson. Have you ever thought of that? Ones can miss a blessing where they overreacted. What we are lacking here is a fear of God. What happened to being determined to make heaven your home? Fear is the beginning of wisdom. The Lord blesses those that fear him. You know the story of Solomon. Solomon started out amazing. But have you ever noticed that when you read the story of Solomon, you ever see the recurring theme that happens every so many scriptures? What does God tell him over and over? Solomon, if you will keep me as your God, if you will do these things, if you will do that, if you'll do this, then I will be your God and I will take care of you. If he told that to Solomon many times. All throughout Solomon's life, he told him that. And then what happened?
Right.
Gradually, little by little, what happened? He got caught up in things he shouldn't have been caught up with. Even with all the warnings, Solomon knew he had everything that a man could want. The most wisest man at that time. But you know what, dear ones? God seeks out acknowledgement. And while Solomon acknowledged God, God was with him. But over the time, of course, he allowed the worship of other gods. We have more light and understanding now than what Solomon had, and the Holy Spirit. Yet one still walk away. Blows my mind. I can't get over that. Here we are at the, we're as Brother Watson always says, we're about to the top of the hill, right? We're almost there, and you got people going back down the mountain. What in the world? That's scary. No matter the reason, it's not going to stand. God desires to be worshiped in holiness and a sin-free life. And he has made a way for us to be sin-free. And God is a jealous God, and he will not allow any other thing to crowd him out. It's just like you with your spouse. Would you allow somebody else to come in and take over your place? No. That's not how it works. And God feels the same way. Many times when people say, well, how can God just shut me out? Okay, let's look at it like this. Joe and Suzanne, am I your son? So I'm not in your home, am I? Right. So do I hear and get to enjoy the blessings that you have inside your home? I don't, do I? It's the same way it is with God. If you're not part of his family, you don't get any of the blessings. None of the blessings. You have to be part of God's family. Second thing we want to look at. When you ignore God's word when it is brought across, as the thoughts and opinions of a man. You want to find a real quick way to get on God's bad side? Mistreat God's man. How we treat the man of God will affect your soul, and for that fact also, it will affect your health. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. If there is a spirit of contention or bitterness, that will affect the body. Verse 7 says, to be not wise in your own eyes, or in other words, to not trust God or to seek his direction, is being conceited, self-sufficient, and leaning to your own understanding as being wise enough to conduct all your affairs of life. What do we come to church for? To gain what? Knowledge, instruction, direction. How many of you have gained a lot of knowledge just from the last few, what do you want to call it, the teaching services, and then also just services in general? How much knowledge have you gained? Exactly. How can you ever think that that's a man's opinion? I got news for you. You're out of place. We need sound doctrine. We need wisdom and direction from the man of God and other saints. It's amazing how one may not know what you're dealing with, but something is said right down your alley and gives you the help that you need. Some cases, the correction or the constructive criticism that we need. And it's not just here in service. It can happen out somewhere else. Absolutely. Brother Jeremy and I share a special bond. He already told you that. I have often referred as Brother Jeremy as my mentor. Him and I are close. Close for a long time. I will never forget. There's been two times Brother Jeremy has made special visits for me, and he didn't know anything was going on. There was a time when I was still living at home. I was living up here on Countryside Drive, and I was distraught. I was having the time of my life. The enemy was just beating the daylights out of me. I was a young man, early 20s, and all of a sudden there's this brown UPS truck outside my apartment. There's Brother Jeremy. I just thought I'd stop in. Had prayer, and guess what? That's what I needed. Amen. Oh, I've had other interactions with other people. And I don't have time to mention them all tonight, but there was another time we were on our way home from Columbus. And having a hard time, I received a text. I said, hey, brother, I want to let you know I'm praying for you. I appreciate you. I texted him back. I said, have I been on your mind? Yes. Very good. See, correction and encouragement doesn't always come from the service. It comes from the other saints, too. The third thing here, misrepresenting and being a reproach to God's church. How we live our everyday lives speaks volumes. As has been said, we may be the only Bible that some people ever read. If we claim salvation and we aren't doing the works of salvation, there's going to create doubts about you and those that you worship with. We represent something. We represent this place. And when we go out into the public, whether it be at a restaurant or whether it be in the store or wherever it's at, We are representing something. And how we act and what we say and what we do counts for something. No man liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Now we just got a couple more things here, and then I'm going to be done. We are to walk in a manner that is worthy to the Lord. We've been given an opportunity to share in the inheritance of the Lord. We have been given much, and we are responsible, and we owe much to God. We need to remember that there is always one that is looking on in every situation, whether it's good or bad. He sees all and he knows all, and it would do us well to remember that. That can be a very comforting thought, or it can be a very fearful thought, depending on where you stand. And we want to talk about just a couple things here. How do we acknowledge God? Just a couple things. I realize this is really short. Number one, the way we live, the way we act. How we treat our neighbors, like I just said, in the restaurant, in the store, at school, at home, in the assembly, even here. Many other religious minds have taken the golden rule. We've all heard the golden rule. In Matthew chapter 7, right? Many other denominations have taken this and they've put it into the negative sense. And this has been something that I've looked at and studied for a while. And they've all put it in the negative sense, but Jesus didn't put it in the negative sense. What's it say? He says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What is do? Do is an action word. It's a positive. It's not a negative. It's a positive. Jesus came to abolish the law, and he set in motion two commandments. What are those two commandments? Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength, right? What's the second one? Love your neighbors yourself. Love him with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself. Not sometimes, or not when they make you upset. Okay. I've been doing a study here for a little while now. And I'm starting to get it going here, but been studying on love, the acts of love, the manifestations, and that's quite a study. That's a big study. And when it goes down through the talking about the different types of love, there's four different types of love. There's love between your family, love for your spouse, love for your nearest and dearest, and then there's what they call agape love. Agape love is what we're supposed to have. Now, agape love, when you have agape love, it just doesn't mean that you're just going to love everybody like you love your wife or like you love your family. No, it's more of a willed type of love. You have to will yourself. And the only way you will yourself is if you have the Spirit of God. That's how you can do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Even if it is your enemy, you can still do it. How do you want to be treated? What if you were to fail and need help? What is the thing? What's it say in Scripture? Galatians, considering thyself. Consider yourself. You who are spiritual, restore. That's what we're supposed to do, is restore. Do unto others. How do we acknowledge God when we act like him? How's God act? He restores. But what happens sometimes? If we're not careful, there goes so-and-so. He had it coming. He's been a sinner for a long time. He just finally decided to quit. It's easy. Oh, it's easy for us to get frustrated with people, isn't it? Oh, yes, it is. Come on, be honest. This thought of love, he's the man. That's right, I'm the man. I don't know what I'm studying this big topic of love for. It may just be for me. But let me tell you what. It's a study. It's a study. Love is the commandment. How do we acknowledge, or in this case, represent God through love? How do we love? In word and in deed. How we live and act shows who we are and what we are about. Number two, how we talk to, respond, and address those around us. Our speech is always to be what? Seasoned with grace. That's one thing my daughters taught me early on as being a father. And you know what? My girls now, you can ask them all you want. Ask them anything about me. I don't care. That's God. But they taught me. Sometimes, as a parent, you just need to shut up and listen. I just put it as plainly as I possibly can. Sometimes you just need to be quiet and listen. Because you know what? Sometimes how you address your kids can make them or it can break them. Brother Reggie, that was, it's beautiful. That was beautiful. Talk about sensitivity. How you address your children. Do you want your children to stay in the church? Now, I'm not saying you can't correct your children. That's not what I'm saying. Children need corrected. But how do you correct your children? How do you deal with your children? With love. You want your children to stay in church? Now, I'm not saying that just because you did everything right doesn't mean all your children are going to always stay in church. No, your children still have to make a choice. But how you treat them does make a huge difference. This can be a challenge. But we need to watch how we address those around us, our brothers and our sisters. When we get tired and we get ouchy, soft answers turn away anger. Grievous words stir up wrath. Be sensitive. It's easy to get frustrated. But teach your children and those around you how to react. When you are sensitive towards your children, you teach them things. You teach them empathy. Remember who you are representing. And that God is always looking on. Number three, how we dress. The way we dress will either draw attention to ourselves or God. Did you know that this is many times what opens many doors for you to be able to acknowledge God to the public? By the way you dress. This also affects your spirit. A meek and quiet spirit makes you more approachable. And finally, the last partner said, amen, right? Thankfulness. Amen. How do you acknowledge God? Thankfulness. As we desire for our children to thank us for the things that we do for them, not only in words but also in deeds, being thankful is a great way to give acknowledgement to God. Psalms chapter 145, I'm going to read it for you, verses 1 through 10 says, 145, Psalms 145, chapter 145, 1 through 10. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might and the terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious. He's full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works, and all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. I realize that this was in a very hurried fashion and very jumbled. But our aim was to bring what God gave us as a means and a help. Right. And to remind us that God desires to be acknowledged. Yeah. Through every aspect of our lives. I guarantee you, it will go a lot better for you if you just let God know how weak you are without him.